Luke chapter 12, everybody. We started this chapter last week. We got through the first 21 verses. And as we were going through here, we saw that Jesus was really warning his disciples about a few different things. First of all, he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He had to tell them, beware this hypocrisy that these Pharisees are involved in. These Pharisees were the ones that try to present themselves as the real religious leaders of the day. They were the ones that felt they were the closest to God. Everybody else was you know, far distant from them in their walk with the Lord. But yet what the Pharisees did, what they were masters at, is they were masters at putting on an act. And that's what a hypocrite literally meant. It meant that you were putting on an act, a display of something outwardly, but it wasn't who you truly were inwardly. And we talked a bit last week about how even coming in a church, we could potentially be walking in hypocrisy in some ways if we sit there and try to put on a display of religion. Maybe it's coming in and saying, well, I'm going to raise my hands the highest during worship. And yet if you're doing that to be seen in an outward way and your heart's not there, it's hypocrisy. Some people may want to come and sit in the front row just to display a sense of spirituality. But not here. I'm talking about other churches. Not at this church. The front row sitters of this church, they are on fire for the Lord, and I like that. I was jokingly saying about how, you know, sometimes people might want to shout out, amen, you know, the loudest. And now, and then I realized that after I said that, everybody's going to be afraid now to say amen during the message. Yes, thank you. Let me just say, you guys have free reign to say amen. If you hear a particular truth or the word speaking to you and you're in agreement, shout out amen. We're not going to look at you and go, what a hypocrite. We're going to say praise God, okay? As long as your heart is right, all right? As long as your heart is right, you can feel free to do that, please. But this is what Jesus was addressing with these Pharisees. And he says to his disciples, beware of them. They're putting on a display of religion, and yet their hearts are far from God. Then he went on to talk about beware of covetousness. And there was a young man that came to him and started talking about this inheritance and the proper division of that inheritance between him and his brother. And the Lord began to talk about this area of covetousness. Well, then in verse 22, we're going to move on to something that's kind of along the same lines. Because this fellow he talks about in this parable, he had so much stuff that he had stored up. And he was thinking, oh, this is going to be good. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord said, be careful, because this very night your soul is required of you. What good is it going to be to have all this stuff and to covet for more when potentially you're going to leave it all behind? Well, in reality, you are going to leave it all behind. The question is when. Are we living for those things? Now, there are people that have a lot of stuff and they are wanting more. But now the other side of the coin is that there are people that don't have very much. And they're worried for the things that they don't have. This one man at the end of verses, you know, 18, 19, 20, and 21, this man was worried about what he did have, but there are also those that worry about what they don't have. Look at verse 22 with me. He said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Jesus says, I say to you, do not worry about your life. This is an area that can have equally devastating effects as covetousness. It's anxiety, worry. It's a very real threat to living by faith. He says, do not worry about your life. Worry is something that I'm sure we all, at one time or another, maybe on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis, maybe this is an area that you struggle with. Worry. I think it's an epidemic in our day. It seems that the more resources and things we have, the more it just causes us to worry about stuff. There's so many things that are made to make life easier, yet it just causes life to get more stressful. Don't you find that? Computers. Everybody thought, oh, computers are just going to make everything so much better. I've had just nights where I'm going to bed just stressful over computers failing or not working properly or whatever. You spend more time trying to work on these, clean these things, make them run properly than they are to actually help you. And it's crazy what we can encounter and what we can deal with. But yet there are so many things that can cause us to be in a position, to be in a place of worry. But the Lord says, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat, nor about the body, what you're going to put on. Don't worry about those basic necessities, ultimately. Don't worry about your food, about your clothing issues. Just don't worry about them. And he tells us why. He says, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Remember back in verse 15. He said at the end of verse 15, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Your life is not about those things. Some people are worried about, oh, do I have the latest fashion? Do I have the nicest clothes? Do I have a full pantry? The Lord's saying, listen, your life is not fully consisting about those things. Your life should not be consumed and dominated by those things. And when we begin to focus on those things, what happens? It begins to drain us, doesn't it? It begins to wear us down. Corrie ten Boom said something very profound, very true. She said this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. Let me say it again. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. It's exactly what happens when we begin to focus on worry, when we begin to get consumed by these things. Now notice what the Lord goes on to say in verse 24. This is so good. It says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. Remember, that was the deal with that man that came to him, that parable. The guy was storing all these things up in his storehouses. He had a great and plentiful crop and goods, and he was storing them in his storehouse. And this man was thinking, oh, this is going to be wonderful. This is going to be good. I'm going to have my heart's content. I'm going to eat, drink, be merry. It's going to be great. But Jesus says, listen, what about even the ravens? They don't have storehouses. They're not stockpiling stuff for them. They're not going around worried about where they're going to get the next meal. Listen, he says that God feeds them. God feeds them. Think about this. Just dirty old ravens. They're not a nice bird. We don't like ravens, really. They're kind of like, oh, shoot, get away. But God cares for them. And what's even more wonderful is that God's even used ravens to feed man. Remember Elijah? 1 Kings chapter 17? How cool is that? That not only is God caring for the ravens and the birds, but even will and can use them to feed men. In other words, God's resources are unlimited. Do you realize that today? Do you know that God's resources are unlimited? You don't need to be a hypocrite if you say amen. You can say amen. Amen. Why in the world then would we need to be concerned to the point of stress and worry for what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, when God's word tells us here very clearly that God is even feeding the ravens? And then he says at the end of verse 24, of how much more value are you than the birds? How much more value are you? You being the one that's created in his own image, you have a different relationship with the Heavenly Father than anything else that's created. You as a human being have a different and a higher relationship with God than anything else that's created. And if God is caring for the birds, which again, we're just kind of like the lowest, denominator here in a sense. They were the cheapest of the living animals that were sold in the market. If he's even caring for the birds and feeding them, do you not think that he'll take care of you? the one created in his own image, the one that's created for a different and higher kind of relationship than the birds? Don't you think that makes sense? Yeah. And he goes on to say, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? I've worried a lot about adding a cubit to my stature. I don't believe that my worrying will add a cubit to my stature. But I prayed that one day there could be some cubits come my way. But what they're saying is that, what Jesus is saying is that you're not going to make any difference in your life. And not, and this isn't just talking about, you know, your height. It's talking more so about the length of life. By worrying about those things, are you going to be increasing your life? Are you going to be adding to your life? If you're sitting here going, oh, what am I going to eat today? Where am I going to get more food for next week? What about my clothes? They're getting a little bit, you know, holy, you know, like actual holes in them. I don't mean like church wear. They're got holes in them. They're getting tattered. I need to get more clothes. And if we're sitting there dominated, consumed by those kinds of thoughts and thinking, is that going to actually prolong your life? No. Doesn't worrying and stress actually take away from your life? Doesn't it decrease your life? Sure it does. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? Can you add anything to your life? It doesn't work that way. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Listen, this is good stuff here, guys. Jesus is saying, if you're not able to do even the least, if you're not even able to take care of the little things, can you do even the bigger things, the rest? Why are you anxious then for the rest? If this is so, then why worry about the future? Rather, let us use all our strength and time serving Christ, living for Him, and let Him take care of the future. Because that's what He wants to do. That's what He said He will do. And then He goes on to give us even some more examples of why we shouldn't worry. It says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? Oh, I like that. If He's clothing the grass and the flowers and arraying them even in a greater way than what Solomon was arrayed like in all of his splendor and glory. If God's taking care of just the ground and nature around us, if He's clothing all this, which ultimately is just kind of picked up and thrown in the fire when in different parts of the world when the fields are growing, you know, pretty long and they want to just have it mowed and cleaned up, they'll just light it on fire. They just burn it. I've been to Africa and you'll just see at times just whole fields just on fire and you drive by and think, oh, gotta call 911. No, they're just doing that. They just do that. Light the fields on fire and the fire will take care of itself and then it's all fresh and ready to harvest again. But if God takes care of these things and it's ultimately just thrown on the fire, how much more then is He gonna take care of you? How much more will He clothe you? He says, oh, you of little faith. Interesting. Are you worried today? Are you worried about just your basic necessities? Because what that does then is it shows a lack of faith. Our worry shows a lack of faith. You see, God wants us to live a life of trust and dependency upon Him. Now, that's hard, okay? I know it is. But living a life of faith and trust in God, it's a better alternative than sitting there stressing out and worrying about, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get this? How is that going to happen? My bank account's depleting. How are we going to take care of these things? How are we going to pay the bills? Does anybody have fun doing that? Just I want to make sure before I go on. Because my point is this. It's a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable to put our trust in God and to say, God, hey, your word tells me that you're taking care of even the smaller, even more insignificant things. If you're doing that, then you're going to take care of me. That's what you tell me. So, God, this worry, this stress that I'm holding, it's here you go, Lord. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust you. That's a whole lot easier and a lot more enjoyable and a lot more beneficial to do that than to sit here and freak out and to stress and worry. Thank you. And to stress and worry for your own needs that you ultimately don't have any control over anyways. Remember verse 26, if you're not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? You're not able to take care of those things. Why worry about it? Don't be anxious about those things. Now, here's the thing. This is what I'm getting to, and this is what Jesus is addressing here, O you of little faith. Worry is the opposite of faith. Okay? Worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is going to kill faith. The Word tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. And we cannot do that with worrying lies. We cannot be those that are walking by faith, not by sight, if we are consumed and riddled with worry and stress. You are either going to grow in faith and exercise faith, and that will squeeze out the worry, or you can continue on in worry, and that will squeeze out any faith that you have. But only one can stand. They cannot coexist together. The question is, which one are you fostering in your life today? Which are you fostering in your life today? Are you living in worry and fear and stress? Are you feeding that daily? Or like I said, are you handing that over to the Lord and saying, I like your way much better, God. I like living by your word because you say not to worry about those things. So Lord, this worry and stress, here it is, it's yours. I'm going to live by faith. Are we feeding that faith in our lives daily? Are we fostering that? It's tough, I'm telling you. I know. It's hard. This isn't an easy road. It's not something that we just kind of wake up and go, oh, okay, great. I'm not going to, you know, I got a huge bill coming today, but oh, I'm just not going to worry about it. That's tough. But the Lord wants you to turn that attention onto Him. And say, Lord, you need to help me here. You need to take care of this. And I'm going to believe in faith that you're going to work this out. Because here's the thing, guys. This is where it gets a little serious. Is that worry is ultimately sin. What? Sin? What are you talking about? It's getting a little too personal now, Brent. Here's the deal. Worry discredits God. It discredits God. It misrepresents God. Maybe you tried, you know, cloaking worry with a bit more of a holier Christian concern. Oh, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. Brother, I just have a holy concern for this issue here. Maybe you've tried, you know, doing that. It's worry. You're worried about that. There are many who are just plain old, simply worried. And they're running around like a chicken with their head cut off, trying to figure everything out or solve the issue instead of just trusting God. As we've already said, it's much more peaceful to just trust God, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it a lot more peaceful just to sit there, but God, I'm just trusting you. Anybody, don't raise your hand, but has anybody ever had an anxiety attack? It's not fun. I just had one like a couple minutes ago. They're not fun. Get one every Sunday before I come up here and teach the word. They're not cool. They're not fun. And you feel when you're going through that anxiety attack, you feel like you're going to die. You feel like everything is just getting dark around you. But what happened is that comes because it's caused by a total self-consumption of your own well-being. Sometimes the person doesn't even know why they're so worried. What are you so stressed about? I don't know, but I'm just freaking out. Sometimes people just get, you know, worried for worried's sake. They're stressed out. And they can't sometimes even put a finger on it. I know that's not always the case, but sometimes we're just real good at exercising worry. And the problem here is that the believer who is gripped with this kind of fear and worry is discrediting God. How can they be a witness if they're living a life freaked out and in worry? How can they be a witness for God? What do you need to come out and hey, you know, you got to give your life to Jesus. Why? So I can be a basket case like you? So I can run around like a chicken with his head cut off, freaked out and worried? Why would I want your God? Is your God real? That's what people are going to begin to wonder if that's the case, if that's how you're living your life. People will begin to wonder, is your God real? Isn't he there to help you? Isn't he there to strengthen you and support you? People will begin to question that. Worry is going to discredit God. And we have to be concerned with our witness. We have to be concerned with how we're living our life. You know, it goes back to, again, this area of hypocrisy. Some Christians are saying, well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm just loving Jesus. Jesus is in my life. He's my Lord and my Savior. He's taking care of me. And then when you're away from church, you're just running around freaked out talking about all these worries that you have. People are going, it doesn't make sense. That doesn't add up. I don't know about that. Now, as we're talking about worry and about trusting in the Lord, some of you might be sitting here going, that doesn't sound practical. That just doesn't sound safe. It doesn't sound reasonable. You know, I got to take care of what I'm going to eat and such, right? I've got to be one that's diligent and taking care of these things, and I've got to worry about these things to some degree, don't I? This trusting God just isn't practical, is it? Well, let's look at this next verse here, okay? Let's turn to verse 29. And there we see, and do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. You know, this is already what he's been addressing to us in the previous verses I've read. And if you're going through that, trying to excuse it, trying to find ways around it, he just comes back to it here in verse 29 and says, listen, here's what I'm saying to you, just so you get it. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Do not seek what you should eat. Some of you are going, that's pretty much all I think about. What am I going to do today? Mongolia Grill, McDonald's, Red Robins. I have no idea what you've been saying, Brent. I'm just thinking about that burger afterwards. I don't know. Some of us just think about this a lot, no doubt. And maybe you're thinking, why shouldn't I seek these things? Why shouldn't I be worried about these things? Well, stay tuned here. He says not to have an anxious mind in verse 29. Don't seek those things that you should eat or drink. Nor, here's the key, nor have an anxious mind. Now, this word here, anxious, is a different word that he used in verse 26. Remember verse 26, we read, why are you anxious for the rest? Well, this word anxious in verse 29 is different than that word used in verse 26. The idea here in verse 29 is that word anxious implies being out on the sea, tossed to and fro by the waves in the sea. You're getting rocked. You're getting battered. The King James calls this here, don't have a doubtful mind. Now, the Greeks illustrated this concept by saying, don't be tossed about on the raging sea if you can be safe in the harbor. Ooh, don't have an anxious mind. In other words, don't be out on the raging sea, tossed back and forth, getting seasick when you can be safe in the harbor. It's like that verse, Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to do that in the midst of our worry and chaos and stress. Sometimes we need to stop and just still ourselves and be reminded that He is God. Be reminded of what He's told us in His Word, that He's going to take care of us. He'll provide. He told us, don't stress out over those things. Let me take care of it for you. Look at the birds all around you. They're not freaking out. They're not worried about what they're doing. You don't see birds flying around having anxiety attacks. If you have, please let me know and correct me, but all right. Okay. But we're not seeing birds, you know, freaking out and having conferences like how they're going to, you know, store up stuff and things of that. They're just out knowing that they're going to get up in the morning and God's going to have those worms for them. Right? Essentially. I totally lost my train of thought, but. Anyways, so don't have that anxious mind is what he's saying here. You don't need to worry about those things. Be still. Trust the Lord. Know that he's going to take care of you and provide for you. God doesn't want us to be rocked by anxiety or worry or doubt. He wants us to come to him and experience peace in him. Think about those two contrasts, okay? Think about that for a second. Think about our lives. When we're walking in worry, we're like that ship out on the sea getting tossed around. And the crewman just getting sick on the boat, you know. That's what we're like when we're worried. But yet, I don't have an anxious mind. We can be instead safe in the harbor. We can be in that place of peace that the Lord has for us. Which one do you prefer? Because a life of worry will lead to you being rocked to and fro. But the life of dependency and trust in God will result in you being safe in the harbor. Which one's more attractive to you? And then he goes on to say in verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. You see, these things that we're talking about, food and clothing and all the issues of your day-to-day living, that's what the nations are going after. That's what the people, are centering their existence around. That's what they're striving for and living for. But this verse says in verse 30, your Father knows that you need these things. Do you realize that? Your Heavenly Father, who loves you, created you, who wants to bless you, he knows that you need these things. Sometimes I think that with our worry, and we got things that we're in need of, sometimes I think we can think that God's just not aware. You ever felt like that before? God, don't you understand what I'm going through right now? Don't you see that I need this? Don't you see what's happening in my life right now? Don't you see what's going on in my bank account, God? And sometimes I think that we believe that God just doesn't know, is not aware. And we've got to challenge him. We've got to get upset at him. Listen, God knows that you need these things. He knows that we need them even before we ask. Matthew 6, verse 8 says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. When you ask the Lord, the Lord's not saying, oh, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I was totally focusing on this other issue, but whew, glad you got me. Okay, I'll get right on that. God knows that you need these things before you even ask of him. So why then should we even come to the Lord, that safe harbor? Why should we be those that are coming to him if he already knows the things we need? Just to spend time with him. Right? Just to spend time with him. To know intimately that love and care in the midst of the storm. That's what we need to be reminded of sometimes. When we come to him, he knows what we have. Listen, definitely pour out your heart to him. Bring your request to him. But let it be so that you can rest in his loving care and know the peace of God in your life. Let it be so that he can just come and embrace you and go, I've got it worked out. I'm taking care of it. Be at rest. That's what's going to happen when we come to him. Don't sit there and say, oh, he knows. He's got it already figured out. I'll just keep going on. Come to the Lord. Rest in him. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that peace of the Lord, that peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. That peace of God is going to guard you guys. But come to the Lord. And then, verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. What things? Well, the things that we just looked at. You know, food, clothing, your daily needs, your basic necessities. Seek after God and his kingdom first, and all those things are going to work out. All those things are going to be taken care of. Seek after the things of God, and he will take care of the things of men. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Seek after the things of God, and he will take care of the things of men. It's not talking about, you know, excessive wealth and the like. We're talking about the needs of man here. God doesn't want you being consumed with the things of man, because that will rob you of living for the things of God. God says, get your priorities straight here. Get your priority right. Seek after me and the kingdom, and all those other things will take care of itself. Guess what? You seek after all those things of earth, well, you're going to keep slamming in a brick wall, and you're going to forsake then the things of God. You're going to lose out on both things. This is God that's going to provide for you and take care of you. If you're living for the things of man, you're going to find yourself doubly empty. Live for the things of God, you're going to find yourself doubly full. You're storing up treasure in heaven, and God's taking care of your basic needs. Notice here in verse 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Believer's Bible Commentary said this, in view of this, the Lord encouraged them not to fear, because if the Father had such glorious honors in store for them, then they need not worry about the pathway that lay between. In other words, if God gives you the best, which is his kingdom, notice, again, this is an argument from, you know, the least to the greater. If God will give you the best, will he not take care of the smaller things then? What do you think? If God is willing to give you the kingdom, the greatest thing that there is, will he surely then not take care of the smaller, more insignificant things in your life? I'm sure we can all say amen to that. But can we actually live it out? That's the key here, guys. Can we actually live it out? If the Lord takes you through a period where you maybe don't have excess or even comfort, can you live in peace trusting him through that time? Can you continue to hold on and sit in that safe harbor trusting the Lord? Saying, God, there is needs, but I'm going to keep trusting you, and you will lead me through. Can we do that? I remember when I took my pregnant wife, resigned from a paid position, my first wife, Sally. And can you imagine if I did that one day, all of a sudden just dropped some, it was Michelle, but can you imagine if I just all of a sudden emptied out my closet, and all of a sudden all these, just like, woo, like, wow, we didn't know you. That was just a silly thing to even say. And now you're all going, what is he hiding in his closet? Why would I do that? I don't know. Just trying to have some fun with you. Guys, it's wide open. There's nothing to hide. Okay. Listen, here's the deal. The true story. I remember when I took my wife, Michelle, pregnant, okay? I was serving as a youth pastor, you know, paid position. We resigned from that position. My last Sunday was the Sunday that, you know, Michelle was kind of due, okay, to give birth. And so it was time to move. We were in a moving process from Kamloops back out here as we were going to be undergoing helping this new church plant in Linden, Calvary Chapel Linden. And I'll tell you, we made that decision. And I had a lot of people looking at me going, "Are you crazy, Brent? What in the world are you doing?" I was leaving a paid position to come to a non-paid position, starting a brand new family, making a move with a very, very, very pregnant wife, all right? And people were looking at me going, "Are you insane?" Or more kindly, just, "You're foolish. What are you doing here?" Yet here's the deal. I could confidently say to all those that were doubting, God is going to provide. "Well, yeah, sure, but you got to be sensible." That's what I would hear, right? That's what I'd hear. "Oh, yeah. And this is even from Christian people, even family. "Oh, God will provide. I know, but come on, you got to be sensible." Right? I mean, I know where they're coming from, but I also know that God is not always sensible. Right? Just need to look at Gideon. God takes Gideon. He decreases the Israelite army to 300 men to go up and fight 135,000 Midianites. God says, "Okay, Gideon, I've got you and the guys that I need. All 300 of you. See that big dust cloud over in yonder distance? That's the Midianites. They're stirring. And there's a lot of them." Listen, that's not sensible, is it? The 12 disciples, not sensible. God does not always do things that's sensible. We never have to look at a situation and go, "Well, that just doesn't look right to me. That just doesn't seem sensible. Yeah, I better do something about this here." Because God loves to work through things that are not sensible. And let me tell you, we made that move, and it was one of the most exciting times in our life, simply to see God provide. Simply to see God provide, just for the basic needs that we had. And He never let us down. He never failed. And we got to walk in that path of just simply trusting the Lord and not worrying about those things, though I had lots of people worrying for me. "Well, what do you got to do this, and you got to take care of that, and you've got your wife that you got to be care. You got a new family starting. You got to do this." And you guys, you go have fun getting tossed to and fro in the sea. "I'm going to stay here safe in the harbor. I'm going to stay here depending on the Lord. I'm going to rest in His peace and in His provision. I'm going to rest in that place that God says He will take care of me. He'll feed me. He'll clothe me. I can rest in that." And He did. He's done that. He's proven Himself. And if you are busy worrying about all your stuff, the Lord will let you continue to do that. He's just looking for you to give Him that chance to prove Himself in your life and to show you that He will come through. He'll provide for you. He'll meet your needs. He'll bless you if you let Him. He goes, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are you today seeking and passionately pursuing? Because your heart is going to follow after those things. Your affections, your desires, your devotion will sure to follow after those things that you're seeking and pursuing. So the question is, what are you treasuring today? What are you treasuring today? Listen to this here, guys. Your treasure will be anything you don't want to let go of. Whatever you're holding on to, and you have not released that to the Lord, that's your treasure. Everything we have, we should be holding very lightly before the Lord. Even your kids. Even your kids. Lord, they're yours. If you so choose to take them one day, they're yours, Lord. My treasure is in you. And sadly, some of you today may be treasuring what we've talked about today, worry. Some of you may be treasuring worry. What? Come on. I don't like worry. Oh, I may struggle with worry, but it's certainly not a treasure. Guess what? Are you holding on to it? Have you released that worry to the Lord? Have you given it up to the Lord? Because if you've not, you're treasuring that. It may not feel like a treasure to you, but that's where your heart is remaining today because you're holding on to that. God wants to take that from you today. God wants to bring you to that place today where you're ready to say, Lord, here's my worry. Here's all my stress. Yeah, I've been holding on to it. I've had a good grip on it, Lord. You want to take it from me, but that's become a treasure. And since that's been my treasure, that's where my heart has been consumed with. That's what my heart has been dominated by. I'm sorry, Lord. Here it is. We need to release that. We need to give that to the Lord today. He wants to take that from you. And if you make God's pleasures your treasures, that's when you will live life to the fullest. When you make God's pleasures your treasures, that's where you'll be walking in the abundant life that God has given to us. And you should be asking, what is pleasing to God? God, what's your pleasures? What is pleasing to you? I know what's not pleasing to God. Worry, right? Everybody awake here still? Worry's not pleasing to God. That, as we already said, that discredits God. It misrepresents God. People are looking at you going, what kind of God are you serving? If you're riddled with worry. It doesn't please God. What is pleasing to God? Find out what is pleasing to God and do that. And may your heart rest in that. Because God wants you to treasure Him above all. He wants to have your heart. You know, right back in the very core of the law, God said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your... Anyone? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your heart. And with all your soul and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Hey, has worry crept in there? Begun to consume us a little bit? So that's the case, then we're not able to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. May we be those that are treasuring the Lord. Treasuring time with Him, sitting safe in the harbor, resting in His peace, resting in His provision and in His care. Guys, what we've read today in His Word, His awesome and true Word, is this, that He will take care of you. He's already demonstrated that with less significant things around us. How much more will He care for you? What then do we have to worry about? Don't let worry be a part of your life at all. Give it to the Lord. May His pleasures be your treasures, and may your heart rest in Him today. Join with me in prayer.